responders going to San Francisco. Point 6, we're going to sing all three verses of Why Should We Love You?
Love's in my Savior, could die in my stead. Why should He love me so? Meekly to Calvary's cross He was led. Why should He love me so?
Thank you. I have a few announcements. Go ahead. I have a few announcements for the coming week. There's not going to be any Bible classes this week because it's going to be a bit chilly. And temperature is going to drop down to the mid-20s. And we're going to turn the water off, keep from breaking our pipes and so forth. And that means the bathrooms won't work either. Thursday is going to be 28 degrees, and they say there's likely going to be snow, sleet, or rain. So we have a lot of folks that come from quite a distance, so that's another reason why I'm going to do this. And what you can do is go to the Country Bible Church website and check out the visuals tab. I think that's 150 or something like that, and you can browse around in there. We also have a new podcast tab, and Andy Woods is a podcast that he comes on every Friday, and he is the name of his podcast is Pastor's Point of View. That's it. Yeah. And then we have also Rick Hughes has a podcast, and you can go to his website, and he has a lot of information there also. So it's going to be cold outside and nasty, so you don't even have to leave your house. If you have a computer, you can, and an internet, you can get over there. And there's so many things on the right-hand side. We put everything out on the front page for everybody to, they don't have to go anywhere else to look for something. It's all right there. And just browse around in there. There's a lot of really good things there. So I wanted to make sure that y'all all knew that. Okay. This is a portion of our service where we thank the Lord for all the things He does for us. We are His children, and He provides everything that we need. And we're now going to go to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful that we are your children and that you provide for us everything that we need, and we don't have to worry about you charging us, all because of your grace. Now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this through the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. One more announcement that I will show you here. This, if you look in your bulletin, you'll find that we have the Country Bible Church prayer list for January 2025, and this covers the whole month. But if you have people that you have asked to put on there and they are no longer in need, we'd appreciate it if you would talk to the deacons or Pam or someone and tell them that we don't need them on there anymore. Okay, well, about 2 months ago, during the election, most people would have benefited by reading the following scripture. I'm going to put that scripture on the board. Looking for the slideshow now. Okay, this is a scripture that the people just a couple months ago were wondering what's going to happen to our country. And this comes from Psalm chapter 94, verses 19 through 23. Now, I'm sure all of us, or most of us, would benefit by reading this as well because we didn't know what was going to happen. So here we go for verse 19. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, ever had that happen before? Many times? Thy consolations delight my soul. That means the comforting that he provides for us. Verse 20. Can a throne of destruction be allied with thee? One which devises mischief by decree? Didn't we have a lot of that going on for the last 4 years? They band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has been my stronghold. Oh, right there, we're getting a good part now. The Lord has been my stronghold. And my God, the rock of my refuge. And he has brought back their wickedness upon them and will destroy them in their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't shy away from asking the Lord to do really big things to their enemies. And this is at this point, I don't think any of us can say that he hasn't to this point brought back their wickedness upon them because there are millions of the people who hated this country and trying to destroy it are still trying to do the same. The people spoke and said, this is what we want. We don't want any more of that nonsense. We want to get our country back to where it was before. But and it remains to be seen whether what's going to happen. But anyway, well, time will tell. Now, one thing that happened is that we had hope. And when you have hope, then you've really changed a lot in your life. I don't know about you, but I have hope. I hope that our country will come together, and we are in such a vulnerable place at this time, but there are signs that show that we could have a legitimate hope that the people who are going to take over are going to do the job, and they're going to kick the bums out, essentially. So here's a few verses that have to do with the God of hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So first, two main things in this verse. The first one is we see that we have the God of hope. He is the one that gives us hope. And when we have hope, he will fill you with joy and peace. Very little of that was going on for the last 4 years, but I expect, hopefully, again, that you hear that hopefully, that we all can enjoy joy and peace. and that we may abound in hope. But look at this last part, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. I might indicate that the power of the Holy Spirit must be working in you, or you're not going to have hope. You're going to be miserable, and you'll be afraid, and you're going to be angry, and all those type of things. So the Holy Spirit is linked with hope. You can't have hope if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy. So, what we're going to see, we're going to do a deep dive in a moment with regards to having the Lord. We are to fear the Lord in our soul. But that doesn't mean we're afraid that He's going to crush us or do anything like that. But God means business, and we are His servant. And He expects us to serve. He wants to use it. Use our talents and what gifts He has given us in order to bring about His plan. And a lot of people think, well, I go to church on Sunday, and He ought to be glad that I do that. That's what some would think. But the Lord will handle those issues. So, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy. Then we have, this is Psalm 33:22. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You. So they're asking for mercy. And I don't know about you, I'm a regular prayer of mine includes mercy. I need lots of mercy. And I think all of us do. But then just as we hope in You, and you ask for mercy, hoping that the Lord is going to answer your prayer, He always does. Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So when we ask the Lord for something, and for something that we don't see, it's not something we can even point to and say, this is what I need. So I think a good illustration of that, but if we hope for what we do not see, how about the Lord Jesus coming back? Do you hope for that? I think if you're a Christian, you're crazy. If you're not, if you don't wait for Him, we don't see Him. But then it says, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So whatever we can't see that we're eagerly wanting to see, we wait for it with perseverance. And what does perseverance mean? It means you persevere. Over 2,000 years, we're still waiting for the Lord, and that's a lot of perseverance, but we, look what it says, eagerly wait. Even though we don't know when He's going to come, we do know that He is going to come, and we eagerly wait for that. And then we have 1 John 3:3, and everyone who has this hope in Him, and that means Christ's return in the context, everyone who has this hope in Him, to see Christ return, purifies himself just as He is pure. And what that means is that we all are waiting for Jesus Christ's return. And when you're thinking about His return, He is, of course, purified. And it means that we purify our own thinking when we are concentrating on the Lord and waiting for Him to come back. And that's why it says, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Jesus Christ, of course, is pure. And when we are waiting on Him and hoping for His arrival, then we are pure as well. I think this is the last one. I believe it is. close this. Okay. So most of us are looking forward to see if things are going to change for the better. I believe that all of us are waiting to see what happens. There are things already happening that appear that we may get our beloved country back. And you probably know what I'm talking about. President-elect Donald Trump is already having countries trying to come to him and do business with him. And he has a cabinet that looks like he has some really great people. They are either going to have to be strong as nails and depend on the Lord, or else it will fall right back into the same thing. We have to wait and see. Now, the Bible makes this very clear in Leviticus chapter 26. And I want you to be turning to that in your Bibles, Leviticus chapter 26. While you're doing it, I'm finishing this. Has to say. The Bible makes it very clear in Leviticus chapter 26 that Israelites who follow God's commandments, statutes, and Sabbaths receive blessing. But the Israelites who didn't follow these receive the five cycles of discipline. And that's what we're going to be looking at, because that's what Leviticus chapter 26 is about. And so, we don't want to go that route, and we're going to see the things in Leviticus chapter 26 that are very vivid. It all boils down to, are you going to try to do it your way, or are you going to do it God's way? Are you going to try to bring things about and leave God out of your life, or are you going to constantly be in touch with Him because you have a great God that will see that you get what you need. So, the five cycles of discipline. One more thing I want to say before we get going here. The five cycles of discipline was punishment for Israel. However, God punishes nations and populations accountable for ignoring Him and rejecting His word, which can be related to the five cycles of discipline found in Leviticus chapter 26, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So what I'm saying is, if you tell someone that you were studying the five cycles of discipline in verse 26, there's always somebody going to say, oh, well, that's for Israel. That doesn't mean that we can recognize that He might do the same for us. He absolutely will. But some of the things in here will not be pertinent to a nation that is, of course, doesn't have all the things that Israel had going for them. But we're going to start here in Leviticus chapter 26. And some of these verses I will read, and some of them I might just make a passing thought or something, because this will really open your mind. Remember when I was showing you that we are to fear the Lord? I guarantee you, if you read this all the way to verse 46, you're going to fear the Lord, because He is fair. I'll quit talking and go into it. Leviticus chapter 26. You shall not make yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land, bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Verse 3. If you walk in my statutes. Now this is where the blessing starts, because you're either going to obey and trust the Lord, and you're going to get blessing. But if you don't do that, then that's when the five cycles of discipline come in. So So he says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season, so that the land will yield its produce, and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. And now I'm just going to just leave some of this out, but he's saying also, you will thus eat your food in the full and live securely in your land. So you're not going to have invaders coming into your land. You're going to have all the food you want. Verse 6, I shall also grant grace in the land so that you may you may lie down with the one who is making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. And so you see, all these things are very good things. Verse 7. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. And your enemies will fall before you by the sword. Verse 9. So I will turn towards you and make you fruitful and multiply. Talking about having a lot of children born. And I will confirm my covenant with you. And let's see, verse 11. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you shall not be their slave. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. Now, in verse 14, circle around verse 14, because this is when he's going to go to the other side, what will happen. Verse 14 says, but if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, you might underline, if you do not obey me. So that's what the five cycles of discipline are about. Verse 15, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances, so as not to carry out all my commandments, and so break my covenant. And then verse 16, you can put us in the margin. This is the first cycle of discipline. They do what he said in this verse, not respecting or obeying the Lord. Then this is the first cycle of discipline. I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption, which is loss of health, and fever that shall waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also, you shall sow your seed uselessly. This would be having to do with, of course, the planting of seeds and so forth. For your enemies shall eat it up. So you don't must want to plant because the enemy is going to come and get it anyway. Verse 17. And I shall set my face against you so that you shall be struck down before your enemies. And those who hate you shall rule over you. And you shall flee when no one is pursuing you. Meaning you're going to be very afraid. Now, verse 18, you might circle that one. This is cycle 2, the second cycle. If after these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And each one of these are that way. If you survive the first cycle of discipline, then when it comes to the second discipline, it's going to be 7 times worse than what you just came through. And every one of these have that comment after it. So verse 18 says, if also after these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more than your sins, and I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make you the sky like iron and the earth like bronze. In other words, that's probably a drought or something. Verse 20. And your strength shall be spent uselessly, for your land shall not yield its produce, and the trees of the land shall not yield fruit. 21 is the third one. The third cycle of discipline. If then you act hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you seven times according to your sin. And I will let loose among you the beasts of the field shall bereave you of your children and destroy your cattle and reduce the number so that your roads lie deserted. So he's going to let these wild animals come out and they couldn't even walk on the roads. Verse 23 is the fourth cycle. And if by these things you are not turned to me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with hostility against you, and I will strike you seven times more for your sin. I will also bring upon you a sword which will execute vengeance for the covenant and when you gather together into your cities, I will send pestilence among you so that you shall be delivered into the enemy's hand. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven. There's not enough bread to go around, so they use the same oven. And they will bring back your bread in rations amount so that you will eat and not be satisfied. Verse 27 is the fifth cycle of discipline. This is the worst. Yet if in spite of this you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with wrathful hostility against you, and I will and punish you seven times for your sins. Further, you shall eat the flesh of your young sons and the flesh of your young daughters you shall eat. They're going to be so hungry they're going to eat their own children. Now, that's horrible. I mean, that's really bad. Verse 30. I then will destroy your high places and cut down your incense altars and heap your remains on the remains of your idols. For my soul shall abhor you. In other words, these were the things that they were disobeying God, and they had idols and incense things, which were, sinful. And he says that he's going to take the heap of your remains and throw it on these idols that they had been worshiping. I will lay waste your cities as well, and will make your sanctuary desolate, and I will not smell your soothing aroma. And I will make the land desolate so that your enemies who settle in it shall be appalled over it. The enemies, it's just nothing there. You, however, I will scatter among the nations and will draw out a sword after you, and your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste. Verse 34, then the land will enjoy its Sabbath all the days of desolation while you are in your enemy's land. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbath. Now, the reason this is important is because this is a good example of them disobeying God. On the seventh year, they were not to plant or plow or anything. That was a sabbatical year, and they were to rely on the Lord. Well, they didn't rely on the Lord, and decided to just go ahead and plant and reap and everything like that. And they did that for 70 years. And when Babylon came and took them into back to Babylon, you know how long they were in Babylon? 70 years. They God had Babylon come down and destroy it so much, and he took thousands, the ones they didn't kill, they took back to Babylon, and they were there 70 years. In other words, and this is what this verse is talking about, the seventh Sabbath, every year they would the ground would do what they should have been doing, and that is don't plant it, don't touch it, do anything, because God is showing that he is going to provide for you if you just trust him. And they didn't do that. And so that's why they were there, and I have to hurry up here. Just drop down to verse 38. But you will perish among the nations, and you and your enemies' land will consume you. So those of you who may be left will rot away because of their iniquity in the lands of your enemies, and also because of the iniquities of their forefathers, they will rot away with them. If they confess their iniquities and the iniquity of their forefathers and their unfaithfulness which they committed against me, and also their acting hostility against me, he says, and then in verse 41, I also was acting with hostility against them to bring them into the land of their enemies, or if their uncircumcised heart became humbled, so that they then make amends for their iniquity. And if you drop down to verse 43, kind of in the middle of it, it's talking about, they meanwhile shall be making amends for their iniquity because they rejected my ordinances and their soul abhorred my statutes. And then verse 44. Yet, in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, nor will I abhor them as to destroy them, breaking my covenant with them, for I am the Lord your God. And he's going to, even though they did all this, when they humble themselves, he's going to turn it back all around. One other thing I want to go real quick. If we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I just got to fly through this. I just want to point out things that are that are easy to see. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, we have God being unhappy with the people again. And if you look at verse 15 in Deuteronomy, chapter 27, we'll start there. Deuteronomy chapter 27, and look at verse 15. You'll see, cursed is the man. Look at verse 16. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother. 17. Cursed is he who moves his neighbor boundary. 18. Cursed is he who misleads a blind person. 19. Cursed if you distort the justice due the alien orphan. 20. Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife. 21. Cursed is he who lies with any animal. 22. Cursed is he who lies with his sister. 23. Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law. 24. Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret. 25. Cursed is he who accepts a bribe. And verse 26. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of the law. Now that's a lot of cursing. And what I'm trying to show you is God is not to be tinkered with. He is sovereign. And He expects us to do the things that He requires us to do. And when we don't, there are very stringent punishment for not doing these things. Now, let's see where I can start. Okay, just go to verse 15 in chapter 28. No, let's start with verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country." Verse 4, "Blessed shall you be in offering your body in the fire. Blessing shall you be. Blessing shall you be." All that is a blessing. But when you get to verse 15 again, this time in chapter 28, verse 15, what starts out again? Cursed. Verse 20, "The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke, all you undertake to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me." Okay, I got to completely stop now, but I hope you're seeing what I'm trying to project to you. You have volition. You have the ability to obey God and trust Him. Or if you want to, that volition will take you another place. But when you defy God and you do these things, He is going to hold you accountable. And from what we see there, it's not a pretty thing. Okay, I need to do something with the computer. I've got a lot more, but I've got to just cut it out right now. I'm going to go straight to, we're going to get into our Lord's Supper now. There are two elements. The bread represents the perfect sinless humanity of Christ. And in John chapter 6, verse 47 through 51, John 6, 47 through 51, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life." That's pretty simple, isn't it? Verse 48, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." So eating that bread that came down from heaven is essentially believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have the cup, and the cup is the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross for all mankind. That's what that represents. In John chapter 6, verse 54, John 6, 54 says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Excuse me. Now, when he said this, the elites in Israel, Pharisees and Sadducees and so forth, they just had a meltdown right there because of what he said. Now, "Eat my flesh" represents trusting in the humanity of Jesus Christ, that He is the perfect Son of God and therefore qualified to take our punishment. Eating of the unleavened bread that we have before us there, eating of the unleavened bread expresses faith in Christ. And we do that publicly. And we do that with great joy to be able to do that. And then it says, "They will drink my blood," refers to believing that we are redeemed from the penalty of sin by Christ's atoning work for us on the cross. Drinking from the cup expresses that faith. And these are not literal. These are symbols of how Christ was telling these people, and yet they thought he was were going to take his arm, get a bite out of his arm or something, whatever it is, but they were all mixed up. Anyone can eat and drink. Eating and drinking here refers to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to be a member of Country Bible Church to partake of this communion, but we have to make sure that there are no unconfessed sins in our souls. So we're going to take a few moments to have silent prayer, and then we'll begin. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to remember Jesus Christ and his perfect sinless body, which was given for us on the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name, and please retain the bread until all have been served. For our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. On the night before our Lord was to be crucified, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As we turn our focus onto the cup, we are so very thankful for what our Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for us and the entire world by taking our sins upon himself. Please retain the cup until all have been served. Thank you. all we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And he, God the Father, laid upon him, the Son, our iniquity, and he demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. On that same occasion, our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We will sing "As I Survey the Wondrous Cross" on page 258. We'll sing softly on the third verse, a crescendo on the last verse. Let us stand as we sing. It is my custom on Sundays when we get to the end of our service is to give good news, the best news to people who don't know what's going to happen to them after they die. And a lot of times they just don't want to think about it. But this is the time to think about it because Jesus Christ took care of your sin problem. In fact, the problem of the whole world because he took the punishment that we deserve on himself on the cross. He died and he was buried, but he rose from the grave. And now he offers to anyone who will believe in what he did on the cross by taking their sins on himself. Anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That means that they're become a child of God, their ticket to heaven is guaranteed, and they have such a wonderful life ahead of them if, as long as they continue to trust and obey the Lord. And we saw in the Old Testament there how serious God is about these things, and we need to remember that. If you know someone that is incalcitrant, They just they just don't do anything right, and they're hateful and all that kind of thing. Try to get somehow what we learned in Deuteronomy 26 today into their soul. Challenge them to read those portions of the scriptures. I don't know if you could get it to do it, but if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can find a way. We just need to be the one to deliver it. So that's something we'll try to work on. Let's close. Heavenly Father, you are so awesome. And the last thing we want to do is try to minimize you in our mind. It's impossible for anyone to minimize you because you are the living God, the sovereign of the universe. We love you. We want to please you. And that means that we're going to have to change our lifestyle sometimes and other things, but that's fine. We pray that if we are those who are afraid to give the gospel, we pray that the Holy Spirit will give them the power to overcome that and reach these people, because I believe the time is short and it's still a very evil world because Satan is still the ruler of the world, at least temporarily for now. And so help us to think about these things, and we thank you for it, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.